In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Valerie, we've been talking about your experience of learning to know God through being the mother of a large family, and seeking to teach your children to know God through being members of that family. One of the issues that must come up again and again when you have an age span between 16 and 1 would be that one child gets to do something that somebody else doesn't get to do.
Yes. I have Jim, who's 9 years old, whose constant complaint is it's not fair because his older sisters or his older brother get to go out somewhere. They get to do something or they get to stay up and watch something that he wants to stay up too. And I have to catch myself, instead of saying to him, well, you just have to learn that life is unfair, I have to say, Jim, you have to accept that what Mama and Daddy have decided for you is what we think is right, and your acceptance of that is going to show us that you're willing to or wanting to obey. And if we tell you that bedtime is 8 o'clock, you're going to have to go to bed at 8 o'clock. It may not seem fair to you, but you need more sleep than the older ones do. And so he's a constant challenge because he's always thinking that the things that he doesn't get to do are unfair to him. So I'm thankful because each age a child that we have teaches me something different, and I'm realizing many times that I have to learn lessons over and over again as each child gets to a certain stage and a certain understanding of life. I'm learning again some of the lessons that I had already thought I'd learned with my older ones when they were at that stage, and I'm seeing now with Jim that I need to be just as firm with him as I was with Walter and Elizabeth at that stage. For example, the going to bed business of Jim thinks that he should be allowed to stay up just as late as the others, and he really can't.
I think this attitude he has absorbed from the world, it really is a very worldly idea. One of the dark sides of democracy, that everything has to be depressed equal to the level of the lowest in order to make everybody equal. And C.S. Lewis says that equality is a legal fiction. It's necessary in the legal area, but a family is ruled by love,
right,
and by God's rules, which are right and proper and appropriate, and the children just need to learn to accept what their parents say. Lars and I were on a plane the other day when they made the usual announcement, if there's anyone unable or unwilling to sit in a row marked exit, please let us know and we will change your seat. Well, they found that there was a 14-year-old boy sitting in an exit row, and that's illegal, so they had to change his seat. He had had a window seat, and the only other seat was a center seat between two other people. And I heard one cabin attendant say to the other, well, you can't put him in the middle. He had a window seat. That's not fair. So they actually asked somebody that was sitting in a window seat
To move
so that the boy could sit in the window seat. Well, fortunately, this was a very nice, compliant, and unselfish adult who did that. But I thought, where did they get this skewed idea of fair? There's nothing fair about making the man who has a reservation for the window seat. If the poor kid finds himself in an exit row, it's tough. I mean, it must have been the fault of the airlines themselves for having put him there without inquiring about his age or something. But I do think that our children are inevitably infected even by secular ideas. And your thought that your father and I must be the judge. We want to do what's right, and what's right is, in God's sight, what's fair.
Right.
Now, Val, could we talk a little bit about money?
Money's a difficult area in many families, including our own. Do you mean teaching our own children about money, or
responsibility
between my husband
for
and
using
me?
Money? I think is a very important area, responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do they get an allowance? We could start with that.
Right now, we do not give our children an allowance. There was a season of time when we did. We don't think that they should be paid for regular chores that they do daily. So we do give, we do pay for chores that are done extra. So I have a small list of things that can be, that are called paid jobs or paying jobs. And Colleen and Jim are the two that most like to do those because they like to try to earn money to save for something. But the older three children earn money babysitting or in doing yard work or cleaning. So I don't feel that they need an allowance because they make enough money for their own small expenses. But we're working at teaching our children that they must tithe every time they earn some money. If they earn $10 for babysitting, they must tithe $1 of it. We're teaching them that they must put some of the money that they earn into their savings account regularly.
The older children.
The older three. Account. The older three. Even Jim, who's nine, has a savings account. Well, they all have savings accounts, but Jim is also earning money sometimes with recycling cans, and he has to put some of his money in savings too. Then they're allowed to have spending money, and I think I've worked probably most with the girls, Elizabeth and Christiana, who are 13 and 11, with making envelopes, an envelope for spending money for stamps, an envelope for what they might think are necessities for their own toiletries, making an envelope for something that they're saving for that's a short-term savings that they won't have to put in their savings account, but something that they're looking forward to buying in about a month or so. And setting up a budget for them. As I said, I've worked the most with those two girls on doing that kind of thing and helping them to see that they can't spend all their money right away. They need to put it aside. And
you're talking about the money that they themselves have made.
Yes.
Since they don't get an allowance. I just wanted to make sure that it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
You said they're allowed to have spending money, meaning they are allowed to spend at their own discretion some of the money that they have made, but they do also have to tithe and save.
Yes, and my 13-year-old is involved in Campus Crusade, and they have two or three retreats a year, and she has to help pay for those retreats. She doesn't pay for the whole thing, but she has to pay probably a third of the cost of going to one of those retreats, and she earns that money through babysitting.
Well, the scripture does speak about money. A lot of people think that the Bible says money is the root of all evil.
It
doesn't say that.
No, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil.
The love of money is the root of all evil. So we need to teach both careful responsibility and also a carefreeness about it, in not getting the idea that happiness depends on the amount of money that we have. Now, there are things in the home, in every home, that cost money. Food, water, electricity. Those are all closely related to money. So how do you teach your children to think about money when they turn the hot water on full blast, for example, and leave it on while they're washing the dishes, or when they throw food away?
Well, they know they're not allowed to throw food away, so they're good at putting it back in the fridge. With the hot water, I'm afraid I've just simply given them reproofs that they don't need to turn the hot water on long for a long time or turn it on full blast. But with lights and electricity, I've started a fine system where if they've left a light on, they're fined 10 cents. Usually it's just been a short period of time that it's been left on when we discover it. And if a light were left on all night, which one time it was by the oldest girl, she was fined $1 for the night, which I don't know. I haven't looked at our electric bill, but I don't know how much it really would have cost for that light to be on all night. But I think they need to know that we pay a monthly electricity bill, and they're leaving the lights on cost us money, so they're giving us money for the times when they leave lights on.
And in California, it's particularly important to learn to save water, isn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not allowed to take too long a shower. And they're not allowed to leave the water running. In Mississippi, we used to just let the children play in the yard with the hose, let it run. They can't do that at all.
These are all things that are related to Christian responsibility, aren't they? Mm-hmm. It seems to me that we're not just talking about practical things that might or might not have anything to do with God. But I think of lights and water and electricity, especially since you and I lived in the jungle where we didn't have lights mm-hmm. or very Running. Much food. Mm-hmm. I think of them as very great blessings of civilization mm-hmm. and also mm-hmm. as gifts from God. And mm-hmm. so they need to be treated that way and used very carefully. My husband and I are a little bit fanatical about those things, I guess, because I grew up in the Depression, the Great Depression in the United States, and he grew up under the occupation of the Germans in Norway. Mm-hmm. And he can actually remember being sent to the grocery store to get 1/2 cup of milk. Hmm. That was the ration. Hmm. And the only reason that they were allowed that was because he was a child in the house. Hmm. He lived with his grandparents. And he also remembers very vividly the first time he ever saw a banana. Hmm. His aunt was feeding it to a baby. Hmm. And he stood there just drooling and dying for just one little piece. Huh. Of that banana, which was not given to him. Mm-hmm. So he and I have strong reasons in our background why we feel very sensitive to those mm-hmm. issues, and it does bother us to see mm-hmm. children and adults waste things. Thank you so much. I've been talking with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.